It's the Holy Spirit who convinces. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible episode number 325. I'm Steve Webb and I'm your host and I'm glad you're here today. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. Speaking of 1 year, let's see, there's 365 days in 1 year, and this is episode 325. Simple math tells us that there are 40 episodes left in this year of reading through the Bible. Today we're going to read Acts 17 and 18. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us today as we read. Help us, Lord, to see the opportunities you bring to us to share the good news. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. Paul went into the synagogue, as he always did, and on each Sabbath day for 3 weeks, he talked with his fellow Jews about the Scriptures. He explained and proved that the Christ must die and then rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I am telling you about is the Christ." Some of them were convinced and joined Paul and Silas, along with many of the Greeks who worshipped God and many of the important women. But some others became jealous, so they got some evil men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot. They ran to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas, wanting to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers to the leaders of the city. The people were yelling, "These people have made trouble everywhere in the world, and now they've come here too. Jason is keeping them in his house. All of them do things against the laws of Caesar, saying there is another king called Jesus." When the people and the leaders of the city heard these things, they became very upset. They made Jason and the others put up a sum of money. Then they let the believers go free. That same night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea, where they went to the synagogue. These people were more willing to listen than the people in Thessalonica. The Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said and studied the Scriptures every day to find out if these things were true. So many of them believed, as well as many important Greek women and men. But the people in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the Word of God in Berea too, so they came there, upsetting the people and making trouble. The believers quickly sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The people leading Paul went with him to Athens. Then they carried a message from Paul back to Silas and Timothy for them to come to him as soon as they could. While Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was troubled because he saw that the city was full of idols. In the synagogue, he talked with the Jews and the Greeks who worshipped God. He also talked every day with people in the marketplace. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him, saying, "This man doesn't know what he's talking about. What is he trying to say?" Others said, "He seems to be telling us about some other gods," because Paul was telling them about Jesus and his rising from the dead. They got Paul and took him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said, "Please explain to us this new idea you have been teaching. The things you are saying are new to us, and we want to know what this teaching means." All the people of Athens and those from other countries who live there always use their time to talk about the newest ideas. Then Paul stood before the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I can see that you are very religious in all things. As I was going through your city, I saw the objects you worship. I found an altar that had these words written on it, 'To a God who is not known.' You worship a God that you don't know, and this is the God I am telling you about. The God who made the whole world and everything in it is the Lord of the land and the sky. He does not live in temples built by human hands. This God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else to people. He does not need any help from them. He has everything he needs. God began by making one person, and from him came all the different people who live everywhere in the world. God decided exactly when and where they must live. God wanted them to look for him and perhaps search all around for him and find him, though he is not far away from many of us. By his power, we live and move and exist. Some of your own poets have said, 'For we are his children.' Since we are God's children, you must not think that God is like something that people imagine or make from gold, silver, or rock. In the past, people did not understand God, and he ignored this. But now, God tells all people in the world to change their hearts and lives. God has set a day that he will judge all the world with fairness by the man he chose long ago. And God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. When the people heard about Jesus being raised from the dead, some of them laughed. But others said, "We will hear more about this from you later." So Paul went away from them. But some of the people believed Paul and joined him. Among those who believed was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and some others. Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. He had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul visited with them. Because they practiced the same trade, he stayed and worked with them. They all worked with leather. Every Sabbath he interacted with people in the synagogue, trying to convince both Jews and Greeks. Once Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself fully to the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. When they opposed and slandered him, he shook the dust from his clothes in protest and said to them, "You are responsible for your own fates. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." He left the synagogue and went next door to the home of Titius Justus, a Gentile God-worshipper. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household came to believe in the Lord. Many Corinthians believed and were baptized after listening to Paul. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Don't be afraid. Continue speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you, and no one who attacks you will harm you, for I have many people in this city." So he stayed there for 18 months, teaching God's word among them. Now, when Gallio was the governor of the province of Achaia, the Jews united in their opposition against Paul and brought him before the court. "This man is persuading others to worship God unlawfully," they declared. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If there had been some sort of injury or criminal behavior, I would have reason to accept your complaint. However, since these are squabbles about a message, names, and your own law, deal with them yourselves. I have no desire to sit in judgment over such things." He expelled them from the court, but everyone seized Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and gave him a beating in the presence of the governor. None of this mattered to Gallio. After Paul stayed in Corinth for some time, he said goodbye to the brothers and sisters. At the Corinthian seaport of Cenchreae, he had his head shaved, since he had made a solemn promise. Then, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, he sailed away to Syria. After they arrived in Ephesus, he left Priscilla and Aquila and entered the synagogue and interacted with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he said farewell to them, though, he added, "God willing, I will return." Then he sailed off from Ephesus. He arrived in Caesarea, went up to Jerusalem, and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After some time there, he left and traveled from place to place in the region of Galatia and the district of Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a certain Jew named Apollos arrived in Ephesus. He was a native of Alexandria and was well-educated and effective in his use of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. He taught accurately the things about Jesus, even though he was aware only of the baptism John proclaimed and practiced. He began speaking with confidence in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they received him into their circle of friends and explained to him God's way more accurately. When he wanted to travel to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples so that they would open their homes to him. Once he arrived, he was of great help to those who had come to believe through grace. He would vigorously defeat Jewish arguments in public debate, using the Scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. Well, beloved, something that struck me in today's reading was in chapter 18 and verses 5 and 6. Paul had told the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, and they opposed and slandered him. What was his response? Well, what do many of us tend to do today when people don't accept our message?
We try to change our approach. We try even harder to convince them that Jesus is who he says he is. But Paul shook the dust from his clothes in protest and said to them, "You're responsible for your own fates. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." He didn't seem to fret over saving every last person he delivered the message to, did he? Beloved, we need to remember that our job is merely to deliver the message as faithfully and accurately as we can. It's not our job to convince. We can't. It's the Holy Spirit who convinces. Yes, we have to be prepared to give an answer when people ask questions, but we can't bring about the change in the human heart. Once we've delivered the message, our job is done. Now, that's not to say that we should take too casual an attitude about witnessing. Note that in verse 28, we're told that Apollos would vigorously defeat Jewish arguments in public debate. And then here's the key part of that verse, using the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. He defeated the Jews with the scriptures, not with his own human arguments, but with scripture. That's very important. What do you think? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, our reading is going to be 1 John, the first three chapters. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Speak up. Bye.